Columbus, America, 8th September 1994. This is an evening program given by His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami.
And as soon as you engross in these spiritual activities, then there is no way that you will remain unsatisfied. Even without, we may not have the place to stay. Our color may be anything, maybe brown, black, blue, or whatever it is. Doesn't matter at all. There is no difference in any human being. Whatever faith you are following doesn't make any difference at all. Every living entity has this need. And this is why our philosophy is very correctly known as eternal philosophy. It doesn't differentiate. Everybody has a soul. Everybody has a material body. Everybody has the same problems, bodily problems. Everybody has the same questions before them. Because we are all staying in a society, family, other living entities also are troubling us. And apart from this, there are natural disturbances. And they don't differentiate. Suppose if there is an earthquake, the Christians are not spared. The day you are Christian, you will not go. You will not be harmed. No. If earthquake is there, the whole bunch will go in, whether it is Mohammedan, Christian, or whatever. It is not. These are the man-made differences. Our needs are same. Our way of life is same. And the supreme royal road is same. If you want to go from here to New York, there must be a highway. Christian also has to take that highway. Mohammedan also has to take that highway. Hare Krishna also has to take that highway. Whichever faith you believe, doesn't matter. The same highway you have to take. And if you deny that you don't want to take that way, then you don't go to New York. That is pure and simple. And this is why, first, in the first instance, we should glorify the Lord in different names. And then we try to think about these matters more in detail. Please repeat after me, lovingly. The existence of the soul in our body. The preliminary knowledge about the soul could be obtained from the pages of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And that's why any time we have any question in our mind, we have to refer this preliminary scripture so that we can get answer. The first thing you have to understand before we try to discuss the particular verse is that we have a great doubt in our mind that how by remembering the names of the Lord, or how by meditating on Him, or how by touching to His lotus feet, we can get the same benefit as we should get. There is a nice verse in Vedas which gives the answer for this doubt. Every doubt in your mind has an answer. So don't get perplexed if you have doubts. You should have full faith in the process which is recommended by Mahajanas, great persons. Srila Prabhupada has given us the same process which is flowing from millions of years. Vedic culture is not manufactured today or before 25 years or 30 years. ISKCON has just manifested in its own form before 30 years. But this culture is millions and millions of years old. You take Christianity, it is since last 2000 years. You take Mohammedanism, it is 1400 years. All other faiths are very recent. Whereas Vedic culture is flowing since millions of years when sun was created. This yoga was explained by the Lord Himself to Sun God. His name is Vivaswan. In 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the first verse describes this. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manve Praha Manur Ikshvakave Abravit. This yoga, he says, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, I explained this yoga to Vivasvan, the Sun God, before millions and millions of years ago. Sun God, in turn, explained this yoga to his son, Manu. and we are all descendants of the Manu, and that's why we are known as man or Manushya, or in any language this man word is used, because we are all descendants of Manu. And in this yuga, Manu has successfully passed on to his son, to Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku family, we know that in this family, Aja, Dasharath, King Dasharath, and Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra, has appeared. And since then, it is flowing in a disciplic succession. And the same yoga is described by Srila Prabhupada to us. So this is very original thing we are discussing. And not only that, but in Vedas, the material example is given that how, by just thinking about the names of the Lord, you can reach the Supreme Absolute, complete whole, Supreme Truth, Sri Krishna. He says, Darshan Dhyan Samsparshair Matsya Kurma Vihangamaha. Darshan Dhyan Samsparshair Matsya Kurma Vihangamaha. Pushnanti Swani Apatyani Tathachaham Padmaja. He explains this to Brahma, and he says, Brahma, you should definitely know that darshan, by seeing, darshan, then dhyana, by meditating on the names of the Lord. Just now we meditated. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So this way we meditate, by meditating, darshan, dhyana, samsparshair. The third way is to touch, by touching. And he gives the example of three different living entities. Matsya means fish, kurma means tortoise, and vihangama are birds. The fish, by looking at the eggs, she hatches the eggs. She lays the eggs and she just looks from the far distance. And the eggs hatched and the young fish has come out. Just by darshan. If this materially, if it is true, but by just by darshan, she can get the young fish out of the eggs, then much more should be the true regarding the spiritual darshan. We'll come to this point afterward. But remember this, this is a material example. She doesn't touch her eggs. She doesn't know, but she just looks at the eggs from far, and the eggs are hatched. And she, in time, she gets the young fish. Then, dhyana, meditation. The kurma, the tortoise, lays the eggs on the land, goes in the water, back in the water. And he just meditates on his eggs, and the young tortoise come out. Just by meditation. This is a material example. Just by meditation on the names of Krishna, we should obtain him. If the materiality is so very true, the spiritually, it must be excellently true. And that's why day and night, Srila Prabhupada has recommended us that we should continuously chant Maha Mantra. And it's very easy to remember. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And the more you chant, the more you meditate on the names of the Krishna, and the more you associate with Krishna, as the tortoise continuously associates with the eggs in the form of meditation. Just remember the eggs, that's all. And by remembering, by just meditation, the young tortoise come out. Then the birds, they touch their eggs, they sit on the eggs, and they hatch. And in time, the young ones come out, just by touching. These three things, if they are materially so very true, and there is no need of proving it, it is happening day and night in front of us. So it is the true thing. If in the material manifestation it is happening like this, in the spiritual world it must be very fine, very fine. And spirit, the spiritual matters must be correct. Once we have this knowledge, then our faith in the names of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, or whatever you call, doesn't matter, all certified names are His. According to His activities, He has thousands of names. And as soon as you meditate on His names continuously, and especially Prabhupada has recommended to us that at least 16 rounds we must complete. And we devotees are very particular. We try our best to complete at least 16 rounds, if not more. This is the reason that He knew what process He is giving to us. He didn't cheat. He didn't charge us. He was not greedy. He didn't say that you pay first $1,000 and then I will give you mantra. No. It's free distribution. And not only that, but on top of the mantra meditation, He gave us nice prasadam to eat. And that's why I am attracted with prasadam. I don't know about you. I like rasgullas. First class, you know, early in the morning, you come at 4 o'clock and our Malati Mata will give you rasgullas. Just stand few minutes and you get a big rasgulla. Can you get a glass of water outside? You may chant Coca-Cola, 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 Coca-Cola. Yeah, the Coca-Cola is not there. But you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and rasgulla comes in. This is plate of prasadam comes. It's not, it is a fact. It is a fact. You go out and chant Coca-Cola, 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 Coca-Cola. And for the whole of life you chant, nothing comes out. And here you chant Krishna's name and dish is getting ready. This is a process. Srila Prabhupada gave us, you know ABCD in English? You know ABCD, you have learned ABCD. So He has given us CDE process. It is this process is known as CDE. C means chanting, D means dancing, and E means eating. You chant, you dance, and nice prasadam is there. Satisfy yourself. But Srila Prabhupada insisted that any program without prasadam is failure. So every time we must have prasadam. And these Matajis, they are struggling to maintain this temple. It's our duty to carry on these centers. Otherwise, without this center, where are you going to see each other? And when are we going to discuss about the Supreme Absolute Truth? These centers are the essential things for our life. As we breathe our air, we eat our food, the same way this center is required for our healthy living. We don't know these things. Our healthy living depends upon the centers like this. And these are the sincere Matajis. They don't want anything from you. They are just working for you day and night. And even if you don't help, the centers are going to go on. That is definite. But with your help, the things will become completely easy. This is the main message. And if these birds and this fish and this tortoise, by just seeing or by meditating or by just touching, if they can get the material result, we can very well get the spiritual result from chanting the names of the Lord. And this is the key to success or to our spiritual life. And this is repeated again and again, again and again. And this point, once we understand, then there is another doubt in our mind that we are worshipping the statues. The form of the Lord, which you see here, Krishna and Radha, and Sita and Ram, and Gaur Nithai, etc., they are wrongly called statues or idols. The word is murti in Sanskrit. And the correct translation of murti is deity, or the transcendental form of the Lord. But we had Britishers guest in India, you know. And normally the guest is a paying guest, but they were not the paying guest. They were the receiving guest. And they wanted to dismantle the whole of Vedic culture. And unless they do it, they would not have been able to reign there for long. They wanted to rule over the country. And in order to rule the country, they had to smash the Vedic culture. And they gave us the wrong translation. Then Murti is idol or statue. It is not idol or statue. It is deity, the essential form of the Lord, described by the great people who have seen the Lord daily. And according to that, in Jaipur, the sculptors have carved these Murti and they are lifelike. And not only that, we go to Jaipur and we buy the Murtis and then we bring them with honor, full honor, to America or wherever we try to install them. Then we install them with the fire sacrifice. And in that fire sacrifice, we request the Lord to come and appear in this form. And since the installation of the deities, not a single day we miss the worship of the Lord from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. This is our monopoly. Our ISKCON centers all over the world. All over the world, this worship is continuously going on. And we have, fortunately, centers in all the continents. Around the world, around the clock, these things are going on. We are discussing here about the Lord. Somewhere, again it is starting the discussions. Somewhere, again it is starting. 24 hours a day, the discussion about the Supreme Absolute Truth is going on. 24 hours a day, the worship is going on. 24 hours a day, the Mangala Aartis are going on. Because there is 4 o'clock somewhere at the moment. And wherever it is 4 o'clock, the Aarti is going on. Then again, as soon as it turns, again there is somewhere again 4 o'clock. Again 4 o'clock, again 4 o'clock. And 24 hours, there is a 4 o'clock in some part of the world. And everywhere the Mangala Aarti is going on. Everywhere, nice prasadam is prepared and continuously offered to the Lord. This is the potency of these murtis. These murtis are not statues. Those who see them as statues, they themselves are statues, not the murtis. And I will give you the example of statue worship. You please remember what is statue worship. There may be statues in this Columbus also here, but we have a big statue of Churchill in front of the Parliament Houses in London. And the fellow, since it is erected there, not a single sandwich is ever offered to him. Starving. Nobody cares. And then he has to stand in snow, rain, storm, everything he has to take on his face. And then, so far as I know, Churchill was white, but his statue is completely tarred, black. And then he has friends, pigeons. They come and sit on his head and shoulder and put nice decoration and fly away. And when that statue gets dirty, then a municipal sweeper comes and cleans, boom, boom, with a hard brush. The fellow god must have been scratched the whole body. This is statue worship. For our Lord, we have palatial building. Have you seen the hall like this? It's completely huge. And so many people are coming daily here and going. These Matajis must be very serious about the cleanliness. You see our places anywhere, all over the world. And our temple rooms are completely spotlessly clean. Our deity worship is the highest type. This, can you find this worship anywhere? Nowhere. I challenge you. You show me even one place where this standard of worship is going on. The flowers are fresh flowers. And colors are matching. Can you see? Can you see these things? And it is not an accident that flowers have automatically come and the clothes are automatically on the deities. No. Somebody has to worship. And see the love. See the love. How they have done. They must be unflinchingly attached to the deities. Otherwise they cannot do this service. Who is forcing us to bow down as soon as we come here? If it is a lifeless statue, we don't go to Churchill and bow down. We have so many statues, we don't go anywhere and bow down. And you come here and you throw yourself like a stick. Dandavat. This is the lifestyle of the deities. Never mistake for idol worship or statue worship. Statue worship, you always remember. And once you understand these things, then it helps you to completely, firmly attached to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. That is the main function of these centers. That we have, unfortunately, forgotten our own constitutional position, and that is to get unflinchingly attached to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. That we have forgotten. And to that extent, we have a miserable life. Again, if you want to live human existence, without any miseries, you come back to your constitutional position. And you start chanting from today. Srila Prabhupada came to America and he did not tell anything at all. He just went to Tompkins' park and started chanting. And bunch of hippies were dancing around him. And now we have best of the sannyasin and gurus out of that bunch of hippies, hippie lot. This is the effect of chanting. If you want to be human being, then you must repeat Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And when we have unflinching faith in the Lord, then all other things become secondary for us. Our business becomes secondary, our services become secondary, our family becomes secondary, everything becomes secondary. And we don't care whether we are happy or miserable. We don't care whether we have sufficient to take prasadam or not, we get prasadam or not, we don't worry at all. So many years and so many lives we have eaten daily. As a cat we have eaten, as a dog we have eaten, as a cow we have eaten, in all the species we have eaten. Don't worry about it. Now we may not get for a week or so. It doesn't matter at all. This eating, sleeping, mating and defending, we were doing in every life, in every existence. But this is the main function of the human being. In this higher consciousness, this is a special facility that you can understand that why you should be attracted to the Supreme Absolute Truth. It's the main use of human life. And if you miss this chance, then again there is a darkness. Again there is a dark. Please don't throw yourself into the whirlpool of 8,400,000 different species of life. Don't do anything and everything, but don't be unkind to yourself. You be merciful to yourself and develop the good qualities in you. This is the chance, and you cannot stop the time. You are getting old day by day. Life is running on. You don't have any control over the time. You don't have control over your own body. The body is going to drop one day, and that is definite. Nobody can help it. We may regard that America is very medically advanced, but there is no advancement. There is no cure for death. They cannot do anything. If there was a cure for death, why the doctors are dying? They cannot cure. If they knew, then they would survive for eternal survival, you know. But they don't survive. We know the doctors are every day dying. And this is how we cannot escape this inevitable misery. Janma dukkham, jara dukkham, jaya dukkham puna puna. Very nicely. Anta kale cha maha dukkham, jagrahi, jagrahi. Very nice verse, you know. Janma dukkham, the birth is miserable. Jara dukkham, the old age is more miserable. Our birth was miserable, we have forgotten about it. But the pangs of the birth were very severe. Then jara dukkham, the old age is very painful. Jaya dukkham, husband or wife, is a great trouble. You cannot control one mind. How can you control two minds? And may not be two, again children. So there will be five minds. You will be mad to control the five minds. We cannot. The best way is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And Krishna is situated in everybody's heart. He will control. You can't control. And if you try to control, you will be controlled and you will become mad, crazy. This is the jaya dukkham puna puna. Again and again, this husband and wife is the misery. And apart from this, antakalecha mahadukkham. At the time of death, it is mahadukkha. Prasad and mahaprasad. You know the difference. Prasad and mahaprasad. So dukkha and mahadukkha. Misery and great misery. Antakale. At the end of the life, we don't know. Nobody has come back to tell us what happens to him or her. But we have seen so many people dying. And we see the miserable condition he or she is undergoing. Please learn from these things. And tasmat, therefore, jagrahi, jagrahi, wake up, wake up. This is the main instruction. And when we wake up, then we come to the pages of Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. And then we try our best to satisfy the Lord. We want to satisfy Him. And in His satisfaction, our satisfaction is included. We cannot enjoy separately. That is the main thing to be understood. And we want to enjoy separately. But we are frustrated again and again. Again and again. And He has given us the formula how to satisfy Him. You know, understand this verse. It's a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to satisfy the Lord, then you have to perform, you have to cultivate these four qualities in you. And it's very nicely described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Titikshaya, first quality. Second quality, karunaya. Titikshaya, karunaya. Third quality, maitreya cha akhila jantush. Fourth quality, samatvena cha sarvatma. Bhagwan samprasidati. Bhagwan means Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna. Samprasidati means completely satisfied. Now understand the first quality. Titikshaya means tolerate. You always tolerate. And the living entity who tolerates is the best living entity. Srila Prabhupada tolerated so many things. You know, once he had got the deities, you know, and there was a deity installation in Nairobi. And deities were bought in India from Jaipur. So he took one nice healthy sannyasi with him to pick up the deities. And everything was fixed that Srila Prabhupada should go to Nairobi and install the deities. So before starting from Bombay, he rang Nairobi temple that we are coming with the deities. Please come to the airport and help us to take the deities to the temple and we will install the deities. Deity installation is very important thing. And they started from Bombay and he went to Nairobi airport, they got down. And to their surprise, there was nobody at the airport. They didn't know what happened. It was already rang. They rang them from Bombay. They informed that they are coming. And there was nobody. Somehow or the other, they took the deities into the taxi and went to the temple. The door was completely locked. They rang the bell. Nobody was coming out. And after 10 minutes, some sannyasi was rubbing his eyes, maybe sleeping. Came out, hey, Prabhupada, he said. He was shocked to see Prabhupada. Hey, deities, hey. And he didn't know what to do. So Prabhupada was standing with the deities with that sannyasi. And this sannyasi inside, they were arguing, you know, what happened to him? Prabhupada was standing with the deities with that sannyasi. And this sannyasi inside, they were arguing, you know, what happened to him, Prabhupada? He couldn't answer anything. And he forgot to welcome Prabhupada inside, or take the deities inside. Somehow or the other, Prabhupada forced his way inside. And went to the room, they put the deities there, and the installation was fixed. Then somehow or the other, Prabhupada went there, took shower, you know. So somebody took his clothes for washing. Then they washed and they dried in the spring, you know, in the bag. The next day in the morning, Prabhupada wanted to take shower. So he went into the shower and took shower. Shouting, where are my fresh clothes, he said. Where are my fresh clothes? Bring fresh clothes. Nobody was bringing anything. So Prabhupada screamed again. He said, "What is happening to my clothes?" "Hey, Prabhupada's clothes, where are they gone?" So nobody knew about the clothes. Then some devotee told, "Yes, I took it for washing." "Then what did you do with it?" "Yeah, I had just dried on the string. And there is nothing on the string, is it?" All the clothes were stolen. So Prabhupada was dreaming somehow or the other, he put the old clothes and came up. Came out and he said, "Now we will have a Bhagavatam class." So he gave a Bhagavatam class, yeah. And when he was giving Bhagavatam class, his chadar was on one body, his kurta was on the other body. All his clothes. He controlled himself and gave the class. "What to tell?" he said. So he continued. Then after the class, he called that sannyasi. He said, "My clothes are on their body. Now forget about that and bring the new ones." He said, so very tolerant, you know. Then it so happened that the deities were installed. Then he showed them how to worship and how to take care of the clothes and all ornaments and everything. He showed them very nicely, you know, that you should do like this, you should, and the altar must be very clean, and you should always rub it, and nicely you keep it clean. "Oh, yes, Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada." Everything they understood, you know. Next day, it was a deity greeting. So he thought that he has shown everything now, devotees will be able to. And the curtains opened, and the Radharani's clothes were on Krishna, and Krishna's clothes were on Radharani. "Who did it?" he said. "And Prabhupada, I did it. You showed me yesterday," he said. Again, Prabhupada closed the curtain, changed the clothes, Radharani's clothes were put on the Radharani. "You are rascal," he said. "You don't understand. Be careful, don't do like this again." And then he forgot again, he carried on, you know. Then somehow the whole thing was over. And they said that Prabhupada has told that the altar must be very clean. Altar must be very clean. Prabhupada says, "Hey, it should be very clean," he said. So there was a devotee like Jai Krishna. So he was in charge of cleaning the altar, you know. So he said, Prabhupada said, must be clean, he said. So next day they arranged the pendle program for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, "Now you have to give a very nice lecture there," he said. "There will be so large crowd there." He said, "Don't worry, I'll talk." So then everybody was very busy, and they were running into the pendle and coming back. And this Dushyanta was cleaning the altar. So he took Krishna and put on the step outside, and Radharani, "My mind is away." And he was cleaning the altar. Prabhupada said, "The altar must be very clean. And in the meantime, somebody came, "Hey, Dushyanta, come on, now we have to go to the pendle program." He left the Krishna and Radharani. When Prabhupada wanted to go to pendle program, he came to have darshan. He said, "Who did it? It's 5 miles apart." He said, "Krishna and Radharani." Can you imagine the tolerance, you know? He showed everything. And every day he was in Africa. Every day his kurta was stolen. Every day his dhoti was stolen. Every day it happened. And this time, unless he was very tolerant, it was impossible the devotees to learn these things, you know. The point is, the quality of tolerance gives us a very nice satisfied life. And we are very proud that in our centers, there are so many nationalities staying together. One comes from Chile, another one comes from Siberia, completely apart, you know, North Pole and South Pole. And even then they stay together very nicely, because they tolerate. Our object is common, is to satisfy the Lord. And because of this, we are completely tolerant. Our Indian families particularly, so far, I don't know how far it is going to continue, but so far they are tolerant. And because the husband tolerates wife tolerates husband, the union continues. And that's why the children are very happy. So this quality is very important. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insists that there are three conditions to Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. If you want to worship, if you want to remember Lord every second of your existence, then you must be tolerant. And this is the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam also. It is known as Titikshaya. The more you tolerate, the more you will be worshipped. Krishna is standing there smiling. And anybody comes, the thief comes, he smiles. Small child comes, he smiles. Anybody comes here, he smiles. You may be angry with him, he smiles. He tolerates, he doesn't speak. And because he doesn't speak, we worship him. And we take care of him. Tomorrow, suppose, if he starts talking, nobody will step into here. This step. He said that Krishna is wonderful, he already up, up, up. As soon as you are not tolerant, the worship will stop. So if you want to make your life happy, this is the first quality you have to cultivate. And then Krishna will be satisfied. Bhagwan samprasidati. By this quality, Bhagwan, the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna, will definitely be satisfied. Then second quality, karunaya. You must be merciful to all the living entities. And that's why we have completely purified our diet. We don't kill the animals to stuff our stomach. The dead bodies cannot give you protein. That is definite. Can you imagine if you tomorrow eat the dead body, you'll be healthy? No, you'll be completely diseased. That is not the food. Food is grains, fruits, and so many things provided by Krishna. Our teeth are not suitable for chewing the meat. We cannot cut our prey. You cannot cut the neck of the cows with the teeth which are available here. You have to use the knife. And because it is not your food, you don't have that set of teeth. Tiger is a meat-eating animal and he has that set of teeth. He can cut the prey. That is how it is not meant for us. And karunaya, the seed of mercy completely disappears from the heart of the living entity who doesn't control the eating habits. That is the main defect in our civilization. And we call it advanced civilization. In the name of these things, we are completely destroying the seed of mercy from our own existence. And because we have destroyed this quality of the human being, we are in trouble. There are wars and there are so many other calamities are falling because we are not merciful to ourselves and not to anybody else. This is the main defect. If you want to satisfy the Lord, you have to be merciful to yourself and start chanting from today very seriously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare.
This is the way to be merciful to your own existence. And then you distribute the mercy to everybody. Otherwise, why should we take trouble to invite you all and to give prasadam and to serve you to the best of our ability? No, there is no need. But Srila Prabhupada has forced us to be merciful to the living entities. And wherever we stay, maybe today it is the center is here, but tomorrow we may go away, and wherever we stay, we will have a small program there. We will have a Sunday feast. We will have a nice prasadam. Everything goes on like this. Because the basic mercy is there. And as soon as you become merciful, there is the quality of Krishna. He is very merciful, kind to every living entity. And that's why as soon as you develop this quality, you become his devotee and you satisfy him. These are the two qualities. Titikshaya karunaya. Then the third quality, maitriya chakhila jantushu. Maitriya, friendly. Friendly to all the living entities. This is the part of mercy. If you are merciful to the living entity, you are bound to be friendly. And this is the first line of this sloka, this verse. Titikshaya, titikshaya, karunaya, maitriya, cha, akhila, jantushu. These three qualities. You are reciting nice, you know. Loudly recite. Titikshaya, karunaya, maitriya, chakhila jantushu. Then we come to the fourth quality. Samatvena cha sarmatma. Samatvena means equal. Equal to all the living entities. We don't differentiate. We have all colors as I told you. All nationalities we have. Women, children, learned persons, cleaners, worshippers, pujaris, everybody we have. And even then, we don't differentiate. All services are same. We are completely equal to every living entity. And those who cultivate these four qualities, Bhagwan, Samprasidati, then Lord is completely satisfied. And there is an easy way to remember these four qualities. See, we have to be merciful. So take out M out of mercy. First letter. You understand? Mercy, we took out M. Then equality, equal to all the living entities, we took out E. Then friendly to everybody, F. And tolerant, T. M-E-F-T. Meft. You remember this, meft. And Lord will be satisfied. If you remember meft, and you try to see your life during the day, how you were merciful, how you were equal, how you were friendly, and how much you were tolerant, then the Lord is completely satisfied. Now we recite the words very nicely. Recite after me. Yes. Titikshaya Karunaya Titikshaya Karunaya Titikshaya Karunaya Maitreya Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Chasarvatma Bhagavan Bhagavan Samprasidati. This is the easiest formula, easiest way to satisfy the Lord. And to cultivate these four qualities is not difficult. You just start chanting Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And lovingly chant, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Ram
Ram,
Hare Hare,
and all these qualities will follow. And you remember meft. And did you remember? What is your name?
Achindra.
Huh? Achindra. You remember? What is meft?
Come on.
Huh? Yeah, yes. Yes. Jai Achindra ki jai. He understood, isn't it? You remember? Eh? What is meft? It is very nice to bring them to these programs, you know, because our eyes are like cameras. They take snaps, and these snaps will be eternally with them. But they will remember that our parents were taking us to the temple. Somebody was just shouting and somebody was screaming and somebody was telling meft and this. They remember. And for the whole lifetime, it is a permanent impression.